All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton off a little hiatus. And sorry about that, but there's been a lot going on around the Fenton household. And when I say a lot going on, I basically mean that I've been taking care of two kids solo and have literally not been alone for a period of months now. Like, just things you take for granted, like just being alone. Like, maybe I'll steal a few minutes here and there after the kids are in bed, and maybe I go take a shower or something. And I'm not complaining about being alone with my wife, but I just mean in general, I just haven't been alone. Like, literally haven't been alone, which is when I usually do this show. And so, you know, my kids are starting summer camp this coming week. Things are starting to open up a little bit more as far as my schedule. And I promise you I'll get back to normal. But I really prefer to be alone when I do the show, sit down and record it without kids screaming in the background, tugging at my shorts. And I haven't had a chance to do that. Not to make excuses. But anyway, we've got a big one planned for you today. There's obviously a lot going on in the world. It's not necessarily sports related, but it is sports related. And so the big thing I wanted to talk to you about on today's free stretch, which is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. Or, by the way, Bill Curry Ford, you know, everybody's had to adapt to the times a little bit, or a lot, and Bill Curry Ford is no different. If you want to look at a car or buy a car right now, and some of y'all are like, I'll just go to Bill Curry Ford and do it like normal. I don't care. I'm not worried. And you shouldn't be. I'm not telling you should be. I'm saying that's fine, but some of you may not feel comfortable. You don't want to go out in public unless you don't have to, whatever it is. Either way, you've got options with Bill Curry Ford. You can do what you always do or would always want to do, shop in person. The dealership is sanitized every day. The big showroom has plenty of room for social distancing, which they do practice. And you can also schedule a one-on-one appointment at the dealership during after hours. But even if that's not enough, even if you just don't feel comfortable, you can go online, the website, BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. And you can get the value of your trade-in that way. You can enter the information. You can apply for financing. You can even have a test drive done at your home or office or any location. They'll bring the car to you to test drive. And of course, if you do decide to make a purchase, whether it's new, whether it's pre-owned, whether it's used, whatever it is, they will offer you free vehicle delivery right to your door within a 90-mile radius. Again, if you decide that's the route you want to go. So they've made all the necessary adjustments. If you require them, and if you don't, again, head down there in person. They're a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, where they've always been serving the Tampa Bay area for almost 60 years now. Sean Sullivan, the GM, a good friend of mine, mentioned my name, mentioned the free stretch, mentioned Joe Bucks Fan, and you will get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. So, this week's show, you know, all that's been going on with the murder of George Floyd, the subsequent protests, the NFL's response, Drew Brees coming out, the whole controversy with that. We're going to cover those things on the show today. I'm not going to preach to you on the show today, or I'm going to at least try not to. But I do want, and you know, every single person listening, every single person out there in the world today has an opinion. Okay, and I'm just one of them. I'm not any different. I happen to do a podcast on Joe Bucks Fan, which I'm very lucky to do. But I'm just another guy, just like all you all, guy or girl, and we've all got our opinions on this stuff. But here's the one thing that's not opinion. The biggest thing that's happened this week, and I really hope it sticks, but even if it falls back a little bit from, you know, things are never as high or low as you think, and this week's been a huge surge in awareness and a huge surge in the conversation and all that. One key phrase here, one key term, I should say, not a phrase, it's called the Overton window. I have mentioned the Overton window on the show before. The definition of the Overton window, and it's named after Joseph P. Overton, who coined the theory, if you will. The Overton window is the range of policies politically acceptable to the mainstream population at a given time. It is also known as the window of discourse. Joseph P. Overton stated that an idea's political viability depends mainly on whether it falls within the range of what's acceptable to the mainstream population at a given time. And that window frames the range of policies that can be recommended without appearing too extreme And basically, the Overton window works this way. In the year 2020, just to give an example, if you went into a restaurant and lit up a cigarette, I mean, you'd get kicked out within seconds, right? People would look at you like you have three heads. You don't smoke in restaurants. You don't smoke indoors anywhere, really. Almost anybody. I mean, there's a couple places where they have the waiver, like bars and stuff like that. But, I mean, you don't do that. It's not done. I'm almost 40. I'll be 40 in a couple of months. No, actually, what is it? No, it's June already. I'll be 40 in a few weeks. So I'm old enough to remember, and if you're older than me, you even remember more than this, but I'm old enough to remember when you'd go to a restaurant, they'd ask you, do you want smoking or non? Like, they had smoking sections in restaurants. So if you go even further back than that, you used to be able to smoke anywhere you wanted to, indoors, outdoors. You used to be able to smoke on an airplane. I mean, you could just smoke on an airplane, and nobody thought anything of it. And if somebody tried to suggest, hey, you shouldn't smoke on an airplane, back then, that person would be met with ridicule. Oh, hey, what are you trying to tell me what to do, man? You can't do that. You know, that person would have been met with ridicule. Then, okay, well, now you can't smoke on planes, but you can still smoke in restaurants, anywhere you want. And then, okay, fast forward a little more than that. Okay, now, well, we'll make a section for the smokers. That way people that don't want to be around smoke don't have to. It'll still be inside the restaurant and we're all indoors breathing the same recirculated air. But what the hell? We'll throw them a bone. So now here's a smoking section and here's a non-smoking section. And now, of course, fast forward to today. And you're a monster if you try to smoke inside of a building, especially a dining establishment. It's against the law. You cannot do it. And nobody disputes this. I mean, I'm sure there are a few people who do, but nobody's, like, trying to bang the drum, like, hey, we really need to let smokers have their space back in restaurants. It's been too long. No, nobody's saying that. Like, we're moving forward, not backward. So that's the Overton window. It's basically, at a given time in history and in a given society, what's just the norm? And how far from the norm are you deviating when you suggest one thing or another? The Overton window this week has moved quite a bit. And if you look at the history of the United States as a whole, I mean, that's what history does. It's the Overton window moving and moving and moving. The nation was founded by people who owned slaves. And the original big fight we had was, should you be allowed to own slaves? That's where we were. And there's probably, I mean, not probably, there are a handful of people that still believe that, I'll bet. But the point is, obviously, we moved on from that. Not easily. There was a whole war about it and plenty more things after that that are still going on today. But, you know, it used to be that black people couldn't vote. Women couldn't vote. It used to be that black people weren't allowed to own land, this, that, and the other. Overton window, move, 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 move. Now, obviously, the whole point of this is that we shouldn't be where we are in 2020 at all. Even the fact that the Overton window has moved, it has not moved nearly enough for 200 plus years. But this week, for example, this whole Drew Brees thing, which I'm not going to get into all the details of, but for those of you that didn't see this or don't know what I'm talking about, which is probably not very many of you, Drew Brees, back in 2016 when the whole Colin Kaepernick thing was going on, and Colin Kaepernick was kneeling during the national anthem to protest, the exact type of thing we saw with George Taylor and the exact same type of thing we've been seeing with many other names for years now. Anyway, the whole controversy about that, which we've gone over on this show, Drew Brees was one of the ones saying, I don't care what you're trying to say, I don't care what your point is, that's the wrong way to do it, you don't disrespect the flag, on and on and on. So that was what he said 2016, 4 years ago. So then earlier this week, Drew Brees was on an interview and was asked about everything going on like that, and then it went back again to the protest from 4 years ago, and he reiterated. And by the way, let me stop here, nobody thought anything of it in 2016 when Drew Brees said what he said. He was one of many people, both players and commentators and anybody alike, who carried that belief that Colin Kaepernick was being disrespectful to America, disrespectful to the troops, whatever you want to believe. That wasn't an uncommon thing to think. And more than that, it wasn't really considered a bad take, if you will. So this week, same thing, an interview happens, Drew Brees, and you know, he was asked about several things in the interview, but the point is, he reiterated, I still do not believe it's okay to disrespect the flag. That's the wrong way to do it, blah, blah, blah. But 4 years later, here in 2020, what happened when he said that this week? Huge story. He got ripped all over. It was coming from all sides to the point where, whether you think he did it to save his image or whether you think he did it because he really believes it or whatever you think. The point is, he issued an apology. And then after he apologized, the president tweeted saying, oh, I still like Drew Brees, but he was wrong to apologize. And you know, all the president's trying to do is fire up his base. The president gives zero shits about the flag. But the point is, after that, Drew Brees got called out by the president. And instead of shrinking back, he came back, tweeted at the president, said, no, Mr. President, you're wrong. And the whole point of this whole thing is, you see how the Overton window moved? 2016, he said something like that, and everyone's like, rah, no problem. A lot of people, and still do feel the same way, but nobody thought anything of it. In 2020, after what's been going on, it was a big deal for him to have that take. It was almost, I don't want to say completely universally, but it was almost universally panned as a bad take. And it is a bad take. And we've been through this by now. The whole idea of Drew Brees not wanting to personally, this isn't a problem that Drew Brees doesn't want to kneel. Not everybody has to kneel, or that Drew Brees doesn't feel comfortable doing that. That's not a problem. I said this before when this whole thing was going on this show a few years ago. Like, you don't have to like the Kaepernick thing. It doesn't have to be something that you would approve of yourself. The whole point of the thing, really, it comes down to this. Wherever you come down on standing or kneeling during the anthem, what matters is that if you understand why other people are doing it and where you come down on that issue, even if you don't support doing it yourself, you can still understand the reasons why people do it and why Colin Kaepernick did it. And the biggest problem with what Drew Brees said, and the biggest problem with what a lot of people, you know, the position a lot of people took in 2016, and still are taking in some spots, but the problem with that is it's disingenuous. Like, people, most of the time, know damn well it's not about the flag, it's not about disrespecting the troops, it's not about any of that stuff, and they intentionally miss the point just because they don't like it. So again, if you don't like it, fine. But where Drew Brees was wrong, and the reason Drew Brees apologized, or the reason at least, you know, on the surface that he apologized, is because he is at least purported to understand that very central issue, okay? And again, it's the Overton window. In 2016, nobody expected him to have to say boo, or anybody else. It wasn't just him, it was all these guys. And now, it's exactly the opposite. Now, your name is mud if you don't step up and say something in support. And I'm not saying everybody has to be judged on their precise response and everything's got to be perfect. The point is, don't intentionally miss the point. And I'll only say this about the protest stuff. I mean, we're not going to rehash the whole Kaepernick thing, but it's so often true that the people that thump their chest the most about patriotism and America and symbols, which all symbols are is just symbols, okay? They symbolize something. But the things themselves aren't that big of a deal, okay? The American flag is just a flag, okay, folks? Just like all the other countries have flags. If you really are a patriot, and America really means that much to you, the symbol of that cannot just be a flag. It has to be what the flag stands for, and it's pretty pointless if you get so obsessed in flag etiquette that you miss the entire point of what the flag of the United States is supposed to stand for, what the United States is supposed to stand for. Because all that forced fealty stuff, the anthem, the Pledge of Allegiance, blah, on and on and on and on, all that stuff. Again, that's just for show. It's just window dressing. What makes America America is how we actually treat people, how we actually conduct our society, how we actually conduct ourselves. And if you're getting that wrong, you can jerk yourself off and pat yourself on the back all you want about what a patriot you are because you stand at attention during the anthem and you put a I support the troops bumper sticker on your car. And all those things are fine. There's nothing wrong with any of that, okay? But that can't be it. Like, that can't be, oh, well, this guy kneeled for the anthem, so he clearly hates America. Whatever you think about Kaepernick, here we are in 2020. It's a lot more clear why he was doing what he was doing. And Kaepernick wasn't perfect, by the way. Where Kaepernick's biggest mistake was, you know, like, he came out in the socks with pigs on him. Like, that was combative. That wasn't helpful to the discourse. And it was just something that turned a lot of people against him and made the whole thing an adversarial thing. He made a big mistake in doing that. But the overall message here that was true all along, but now only this week, it seems, are more people starting to realize, is what a problem race in America always has been and continues to be, and quite honestly will continue to be, even though we've made steps forward. And the fact that more people are aware of that now and more people are responding to that now, that shift in the Overton window, is a good thing. Racism isn't getting worse. It's just getting filmed. I mean, seriously, like, now, if nothing else, try to understand, okay, how often these things have been happening and how often they've been swept under the rug and how you still wouldn't know or care about most of them if it wasn't for cell phone cameras and people filming this stuff. And think for every one of these you see where you know the person's name, whether it's George Floyd, whether it's Ahmaud Arbery, whether it's, I mean, all the, I mean, you can go back through all the names, Philando Castile, Eric Garner, I Can't Breathe. All these things happen all the time, but without cell phone cameras, you read a report in the newspaper, so-and-so was combative, so-and-so resisted arrest, so-and-so did this, and you just shrug your shoulder, oh, well, you know, you should have done that. Every single time there's video of this stuff, the report you read in text, I don't say every single time, but so often, that report that you would have read in text that just said, oh, well, suspect resisted arrest, suspect fired or brandished a weapon, blah, blah, blah. How often does it end up being bullshit when you actually see the video of it? Pretty often, right? So think about that. And think about all the other times that did slip through the cracks and have been slipping through the cracks. Someone on Twitter this week said, and it was so true, the cell phone camera has offered more protection to black Americans than any law enforcement agency, any court, any elected official, any news organization, anything, period. And it's true. That even the guy, and this was during the protest, this wasn't what led to the one in Buffalo, that old guy, 75 years old, who like is standing still, and this like line of these stormtrooper guys, and this is another problem, all these guys have these face shields and these they're all dressed up like the military. We need to take the military element out of police work. Like, these guys are too hopped up on this G.I. Joe cosplay. And this guy's like a 75-year-old, like, elderly guy, and he's standing there, and they march right through the guy. He gets knocked onto his back, hits his head on the ground. He's laying on his back. Literally, a pool of blood starts to form at the base of his skull, and they just march on by him. And you read the report, he tripped and fell. And that was with video, and they still said that. So they're willing to lie, bold-faced, when there's video of it. It tells you what they're willing to do when there's no video of it. And the thing is, we're so used to this stuff that even tacitly, even subconsciously, we go along with it. New York Times this week, and this is just an example of like how reporting and wording can slant things one way or the other. There was a couple of different reports about things. There's been a million things going on, obviously, but in one instance, a journalist was hit by protesters. The New York Times wrote, and I quote, "Protesters struck a journalist with his own microphone." So that's active voice. Protesters hit this journalist. There was another report of when a reporter was hit by a pepper ball by an officer who was literally aiming the pepper ball gun directly at the reporter. But when they reported that in the New York Times, they used the passive voice instead of the active voice. So when the protesters hit a journalist, it was "protesters struck a journalist with his own microphone." Here's what they wrote when the reporter was hit by a police officer. Quote, "A reporter was hit by a pepper ball on live television by an officer who appeared to be aiming at her." So not the officer shot a pepper ball at a reporter, like they say with the protester. No. In this case, a reporter was hit by a pepper ball that appeared to possibly have been aimed at by... No, no. Just say it. You can say... When it's law enforcement, though... Again, and I'm quoting the story here. This is an analysis written by Alex Shepard, if you go on Twitter. "Many journalistic organizations are inclined to be deferential to the police while being less respectful of the rabble, a reflection of the power dynamic at work in these situations. The result is language with an air of magical realism, as if tear gas was fired without anyone pulling a trigger and batons floated through the air to hit protesters." And again, I don't know whoever wrote those, the people that wrote those two articles were probably different people, but you notice how the wording is, you notice all these little things, and you realize what black people have been saying all this time. And I don't know why it takes something like what happened to George Floyd this week, or what happened to Ahmaud Arbery before that, or what happened to Breonna Taylor in Louisville, who was shot by the police in her own apartment after they raided her apartment and it was the wrong apartment. There's a million of these stories that are public. There's a million to the nth power of these stories that you never heard about. For every one that you know about, there's dozens more, okay? And it's just time for that to stop. But it's never going to stop without a shift in the Overton window. And if nothing else, this week, we have seen that. So, you know, I haven't done anything myself except sit behind my keyboard. I haven't even really tweeted that much. So I don't want to pretend like I'm sort of some sort of crusader for this that's been out there in the trenches. I haven't been to any protests. I haven't really said or done much. I figured I'd wait till I did another show. But the biggest thing I think that we can all do, just, I mean, in our everyday lives, I don't mean that's something you have to go out and do one time, is just have an understanding of how bad it has been, and just have an understanding of how different and unlevel things have been and continue to be, and just have that empathy. I mean, you know, the biggest thing you can judge someone on to me is their ability to put themselves in someone else's shoes, their ability to feel for other people. Everybody can feel for themselves. Everybody likes things that feel good and doesn't like things that feel bad. But how empathetic are you? How bad do you feel when something is bad for somebody else, even if it's not bad for you? And, you know, I try and teach that to myself on a daily basis, but I try and teach that to my kids too. I mean, it's not about you. It's definitely about you, just not only about you. And you have to understand where other people are coming from. You have to basically feel bad when bad things are happening, even if the bad things aren't happening to you. And if you're one of those I got mine types, or oh, everything's fine for me, I don't see what the problem is types, that's the attitude we have to change. Because it's very easy. I mean, I'm just a regular white guy. I'm sure a lot of you out there are regular white people. A lot of you are up there are regular people of color, or any race, creed, or religion, whatever. But as far as I go, my life, I've never been in any type of marginalized category of any kind, okay? And so I've never had to deal with any of that stuff, none of it. And a lot of people have individual stories, and even if you're a woman, you've had to deal with it, even if you're a white woman. Almost everybody except your standard white dude probably has some stories of some kind or another. My wife's a white woman, and she's dealt with things, especially in her profession. She's a dentist. She's dealt with things that she wouldn't have had to deal with if she were male. And I don't mean from her employers necessarily, just patient reactions and things like that. And as far as like the Me Too movement, I never thought much about that either. When that whole thing came out, I remember talking to my wife, and this is just another example of, again, seeing things from another person's perspective. And I asked her, I was like, have you ever had like, I mean, you've never had a guy touch you inappropriately or had anything, you've never dealt with any type of harassment stuff. And she was like, oh yeah, absolutely. I was like, seriously? And she used to be a waitress in high school and college. And she's like, oh, yeah, I've had guys like just reach out and grab me and stuff like that. I'm like, really? Like, I had no idea. So it can be a black-white thing. It can be a male-female thing. It can be really anything that you aren't, that other people are, that you won't have an understanding of because you've never had to go through it yourself. It could be the type of neighborhood you live in, and maybe somebody in a certain neighborhood worries about walking down the street and another one doesn't. No matter what color you are, the point is empathy. The point is basically just realizing that it's different for other people, and things can be a problem even if they're not a problem for you. And if we just all got behind that one thought, I think we could all do a lot better as a society. And that has nothing to do with politics. That's anybody, any side, any religion, any race, any political party, whatever. Just realizing that it's different for lots of different people. So what's happened this week, if nothing else, has hopefully moved that. I hope it sticks. As far as the cynical side of things, the football side of things, I know a lot of people earlier this week when Drew Brees was going through the initial turmoil from all this and his own teammates were calling him out, and it was very public. Like, people were saying, no, Drew, you need to, I mean, what is it, Michael Tom? Who was it? One of the players said, Drew, you need to shut the F up. And I was like, whoa. And of course, the cynical football Buck fan, I'm thinking, maybe the Saints are kind of unraveling here, huh? And I know that's a silly thing, given all the very serious stuff going on this week. But I'm a Buck fan just like y'all are, so that's one of the things I thought. And I'm like, hey, you know, maybe this can kind of, you know, poison their locker room a little bit. And honestly, I feel bad for thinking that, number one. But number two, I don't believe that. These guys are all grown men, and all this stuff with one, you know, 45-minute sit-down can not only clear the air, it can even make them stronger. I wouldn't expect like there's going to be trouble with the Saints this season because of all this. And, you know, one thing I've read about Drew Brees, and I don't know Drew Brees personally, I don't think he's a bad guy. Even before he apologized, I mean, you know, you can be very wrong about something and not be a bad guy. But one thing I've read about him is that he is very, very mindful of his public image. He's one of those guys that, I don't want to say he's crafted an image like he's not genuine, but he's one of those guys that's very mindful of that. I can imagine this was a very, very shocking thing for him to have to deal with, because he's always been Captain America. You know, everybody loves Drew Brees, and he's done a ton for the community in New Orleans, the black community in New Orleans. I mean, he's done a ton for a lot of people, and that shouldn't be discounted either. So I'm not trying to rip Drew Brees. My point is, you know, knowing what I've read about him, about how image conscious he is about some of this stuff, it was, like, not a surprise to hear that he tried to walk things back a little bit, but it was a surprise that he went as far as he did. And again, whether it's real or not, who knows, but I give him credit for at least coming out there. And the NFL did the same thing. I mean, the Roger Goodell, I mean, this was big news this week. The NFL didn't do boo to back up the players because, and again, this is the NFL probably just taking the temperature of the room at any given time. I'm not sure how genuine it is either. But Roger Goodell, I mean, went into his basement and released a statement, which, by the way, there's a story behind that too, because he was not going to do anything like that until a guy named Brendan Minter, who's just part of the NFL social media team, on his own, at the risk of losing his job at the time, he didn't know how this would be received, got in touch with Michael Thomas after the whole Drew Brees thing and got in touch with some other NFL players and said, hey, if you guys want to say something, if you guys want to speak out, send me some clips. I'll put it together. And they did. They made a whole clip, and then you can see it on Twitter. The NFL released it. He said they were bored doing the same highlight stuff. He said with everything going on, it felt kind of hollow to be doing that same old thing. So on his own, again, this is just a guy working in the NFL social media office without any permission from anybody higher up. And he went and did this. It ends up growing into a big thing. They had like over a dozen players participate. And when those players put their voice into it, including some big stars, guys like Mahomes and some others and Odell Beckham, and all these guys put their force behind it, it forced the NFL's hand. And then all of a sudden, Roger Goodell's in his basement a few days later, and he's cutting a clip. And I'll play the clip real quick, because this is a sea change. I hate to use a cliche, but this is a big difference in the NFL's position from where it was even a week ago, let alone 4 years ago. Here's what Roger Goodell put out on Twitter earlier this week.
It has been a difficult time for our country, in particular, black people in our country. First, my condolences to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, and all the families who have endured police brutality. We, the National Football League, condemn racism and the systematic oppression of black people. We, the National Football League, admit we were wrong for not listening to NFL players earlier and encourage all to speak out and peacefully protest. We, the National Football League, believe black lives matter. I personally protest with you and want to be part of the much needed change in this country. Without black players, there would be no National Football League. And the protests around the country are emblematic of the centuries of silence, inequality, and oppression of black players, coaches, fans, and staff. We are listening. I am listening. And I will be reaching out to players who have raised their voices and others on how we can improve and go forward for a better and more united NFL family.
All right, so that's a pretty big deal. I mean, they hung Kaepernick out to dry 4 years ago, and other players too, and now here we are 4 years later. That sounds like an apology. It said we encourage players to peacefully protest. I don't know what that is. That mean, you know, what happens if people try and kneel again this year? It's all good now, we're not, you know, because before it was we got to bend over backwards, we got to figure out ways to combat this. They let Trump get in their head, and of course the owners, who are all Trump guys who only care about how rich he can help make them in the first place, you know, those guys obviously didn't back the players much either. There's a lot of stories about inside organizations, how guys were told, you better not do this, you know, your job's on the line, blah, blah, blah. And so does this mean now that that's formally not okay? Does this mean now that they're like it said in the video, encouraged to peacefully protest, and it's all good. I guess that remains to be seen, but that's what it sounded like. And either way, it's a big deal to take that step forward. So again, Overton window. Think about it as you watch the world unfold from now on. And I'll leave you guys with this. There's always change in the world happening, we all know that. Think about the way change unfolds, and think about being the person that helps improve things for the better, and not being the guy who's standing there shouting at the rain. I say this literally, I got the rain pouring all around my back patio right now. But don't be the guy shouting at the rain, railing against something that is going to change, and that's going to make you look bad when history looks back on you. Because at every step of the way along the Overton window, what were there? There were people who were trying to fight it. There will always be people trying to fight progress. The Overton window, by its very nature, is progressive. Like, it's about progress. So when you have slavery, there were people, when the United States said, hey, you know what, maybe we should probably not have slavery, it's probably bad. Now, I'm obviously boiling this down to very basic things, but when that happened, what was there? A huge chorus of people saying, slavery is incredibly important, we must preserve it. There was a whole war fought about it, like I said earlier in the show, okay? History does not look kindly on those people now. Just like history doesn't look kindly on people who fought women's right to vote, okay? It doesn't look kindly upon people who argued you should be able to smoke on an airplane or you should be able to smoke on a restaurant. Those people look dumb now, right? But every time anything has ever improved in our country, in sustaining not just our country, anywhere with humanity, anytime something has ever improved, there were people right there on the other side of the line trying to oppose that progress, saying, no, this is wrong, you're going too far. Well, always. Don't be one of those people. Don't be one of those people that's always trying to fight the natural progression of what is right and what is good. Because there are always those people. It's just human nature. There's always going to be people trying to fight the things that are progress. So think long and hard about where you stand on some of these things, and think long and hard about where some of these things are going, and think long and hard about what side you want to be on. And I don't even mean what side politically. I don't mean what side racially. I don't mean what side religiously or anything like that. I mean what side empathetically. Do you want to be the person still trying to convince everybody that there's nothing to worry about? Or do you want to be the person that said, yeah, you know, we need to do better. There needs to be change. And even that admission, even if you don't get off your ass and do anything else, even that admission is progress and you will have helped, okay? And that's all I'll say about that. If you want to email me, I love hearing from you guys. Good or bad, either way, doesn't matter to me. Email's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. That's BOBBYGAMEDAY. bobbygameday@yahoo.com. And on Twitter, it's @bobbygameday. Same thing. I'll be back. I'm going to try and get back in the routine now. Like I said at the top of the show, the kids are getting back to their summer camps. Like, that's going to be happening. So I'll have some time to record and you know, not have to try and sneak time away to do things late at night or whatever. Or take long gaps between shows. It is the off season, but hey, we're getting closer. Listen, we're under 100 days now to the NFL is supposed to start. And as of right now, there's been no change to anything. You know, the other sports are trying to get their acts together to recontinue seasons that were paused. The NFL had the luxury of all this happening during their off season, so they're trying to get themselves ready. As far as, before I end the show, the football updates, there's not going to be any type of anything, really, until training camp opens. That's the plan right now. So for those of you that missed that this week, there won't be any off-season training activities or any of that stuff. The next time you see your football team together will be, if this all goes according to what they hope it goes according to, it'll be training camp. Nobody's going away to training camp. Some teams still do. The Bucs used to, but they use their team facility anyway. All the teams will be using their team facilities for training camp this year. They don't want travel and things like that. So I know, like, the Steelers usually go to Latrobe, Pennsylvania. There's a few teams that have these long-standing traditional places they go for training camp. And this will be a year where everybody stays in their spot. And there won't be any of the joint practices. I know the Bucs had a couple of those scheduled with the Jags leading up to their preseason game. That won't be happening now. Teams are just going to go to camp at their facilities, get ready, and go from there. Will there be people in the stands or not? I have no idea. It still seems hard to envision, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. And it's getting close. I mean, we're here in early June, and training camp is late July. I don't know how much will be different by then. I don't know, you know, all the... I do know this. I got asked to work, because I work in TV. I got asked to work the Bucks-Titans preseason game. And that doesn't mean it's going to happen, but they just said, hey, keep that date open. You know, if you want to just... We're planning on televising it, if you want to plan on working. I said, yeah, absolutely, I'm in. You know, we'll see what happens. If there's no fans or not, obviously TV's the whole reason for all these things to go on anyway, because that's where they can make their money, at least. And I don't know yet. But all this going on right now, it's easy to say, oh, this will pass, and it will. There won't be protests going on, but we don't want it to just pass. I mean, that's not the whole point. We want the violence to pass, but the reasons for all this to be happening, we want to keep that going permanently. That's the whole point. I suppose time will tell just how much progress we have actually made. Either way, folks, thank you for listening. If you did listen, I wasn't trying to come off as preachy or anything like that. That was just my observations of what's been going on. Either way, like I said, under 100 days, let's start thinking football. We'll have plenty more on the offseason. I'll be back next week. But in the meantime, thank you for the Joes for having them allow me to come on this platform in front of all you on the best single place anywhere for Bucks coverage, JoeBucksFan.com. It is a privilege to be able to do this show for them and for you. Thanks to you for listening. Thanks to our good friends over at Bill Curry Ford. I'm Bobby Fenton. That is the opening free stretch for the month of June 2020. And wherever you are, be safe. A lot of rain, a lot of weather this weekend. Find ways to have fun with it, and I'll be back. And until then, wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.